It's been a while, right, Justin?
Yeah.
How long's it been?
Since the end of November.
Wow. Yeah, I'm slacking. You know, a few people have been asking me when I'm going to get back in the studio and get a few in the can. In the can, you know?
That's, I get it in the can.
That's business talk, you know? And, you know, I really been slacking and, you know, a lot of shit going on, but no excuses. Justin, you know, he's away every week for a wedding and, he goes away to, you know, leaves the country whenever I want to do a podcast. So I had to like sit him down and just give him an ultimatum that there'll be no more fucking weddings or vacations. Right, Justin?
Yeah, I'm out of time.
All right. Yeah, that's it. You got your own wedding. You don't need to go anymore.
Yeah.
Whenever someone invites me to a wedding, you know what I say? What the fuck did I ever do to you? I don't want to go to you. Don't, please. If anyone wants me to go to their wedding, maybe I'll just pop in for like 10 minutes. And get out, but don't make me do the whole thing. All right, tonight I had a friend of mine come on, but he had a little injury. He doesn't want to be on camera. He's got a bandage on his face. Mark Magic Stick Goodman. He's a South Boston baseball, handball. I mean, even hockey. You know, it's amazing. He's not a hockey fan, but the second he strapped on skates. He's just one of them. You could put him on a fucking horse and hand him a polo stick, and the guy'd be fucking running all around, fucking, you know. He's just that guy, you know. But yeah, he's sitting here, and he brought in a lifelong friend of his, Patrick Lep, or Pat the Knife
in the building.
Old Colony, no, Old Harbor Projects, my friend. If someone ever calls it the Mary Ellen McCormick House.
Yeah, they're not from there.
They're probably not from there, right?
It's old Harbor Projects.
It's Old Harbor Projects. I've known Pat, we'll talk about it. I've known Pat, 15 years?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 14, 15 years. And, you know, when I first met him, he's one of those kids, you know, a real good kid, like all of us. And then after a while, you're like, all right, I need a break from Pat. Just, some people, you know, like, they're great, but sometimes you're like, all right, small doses. So he was so crazy in there. I said, you know what, I'm gonna like pull a stunt. Like guys will pull stunts, like that don't want to be in the block. They'll owe money or, you know.
Yep.
They'll pull a stunt and get lugged to the hole. To get off the block. I actually pulled a stunt because I needed a break from Pat the Knife. So I'm in the hole for like 2 days, and all of a sudden when someone new comes in, you can hear him coming down the tier, you hear the chains, like the shackles, and hear the doors banging. And what do I hear? Mike, I miss you. It was like, did you ever see a cable guy? Yeah, he was like Jim Carrey in The Cable Guy.
Mikey.
They ended up putting him right next to me, and he fucking drove me bananas in there. For how long were we in the hole that time? How long
like
was
a
that?
Week.
Yeah, that
turtle
was
suit.
Oh, yo, I was down there a while then. You were there
naked.
A week, right?
Yeah,
I was there a while. How long was I down there?
Almost a month.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
shackles. No clothes.
Oh, that was a few months. That was during the father. Was that the Deacon Bill?
Yep.
Wow, that was the deacon. That's a whole nother story.
Oh, God.
We had the deacon lugging drugs into the jail. The priest.
You got caught with child porn.
Yeah, yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, someone I know broke in his house, and they found some DVDs and some other stuff. And then they told us, and then Peter Carter and another kid, Sean, they were the ones who did it. And then we started, you know, like strong-arming the priest, and Peter was basically telling them, you know, we're going to send the stuff to the Boston Herald and the Globe if you don't stop bringing in drugs. And that's how that all started. And we rode that wave for a little while. But Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself growing up in South Boston.
I grew up in the projects. It was good. I grew up in the projects. It was good when I was a kid, you know. Tons of friends, good parents. You know, it was just good. A lot of friends growing up as a kid. Everybody in the projects were turned bad with the drugs and everything. But I had a lot of fun, you know, playing sports, going to Catholic school, great parents, you know. Had a good life growing up. Besides that, like, everything was fun. You know, I had a good time, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I remember your mother. Your mother was the best.
She was my best friend. She was a sweetheart.
And, yeah, we'll talk about that when I stay at your house one of the last times.
Time.
But as a kid growing up, when did you first start getting in trouble?
I don't know, probably like 16. You know, the stealing stuff like that, that's what got me in a lot of trouble growing up. Is it all the way through my life, really, to be honest with you. And probably when I got into drugs, that's when I really started messing up my life. But before that, you know what I mean? I was a good kid growing up. Never really got in trouble in high school or anything like that. But probably like when I was about 18, 19 years old, when I turned an adult, that's when I really started getting in trouble.
Did you always steal before the drugs?
Yeah, always.
See, me too.
Kleptomaniac since I've been like probably about 10 years old.
Me too. I was always stealing stuff.
Yeah, I just can't help it. You know,
some people, it's the drugs, right?
You know, no. I stole long before
me too.
I ever did drugs. I was spoiled rotten as a kid. My mother bought me anything. I just remember stealing, like justifying it, thinking like, all right, my mother don't have to pay for this.
Yeah, that's good enough for me.
It was a rush, and ever since after that, that was it. It was more like a thrill in the game. I mean, who don't like new shit?
Who doesn't like free stuff?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why spend hundreds of dollars on shit when you can just get it for free?
Yeah, but then there's the pitfalls also, you know?
Absolutely. You know, you're going to go to jail, do time.
So when you start using drugs and alcohol, then it just enhances the
thievery. Yeah, 100%, absolutely. You know, then you just start stealing every day, support your drug habit, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's no fun. That's no fun when you got to wake up every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a full-time job. Anybody that's ever been addicted to drugs, even alcohol, you know. When I was a kid, I used to say, how can somebody lose everything from booze? But booze is, you know, can be worse than the drugs. You know, it's the same thing.
Is.
You wake up, you know, you're sick, and then you got to go get it to feel better, and then you drink too much, and then you're all fucked up, and pretty soon you're hiding from everybody and everything. You're not showing up for important stuff, and like anything else, when your life revolves around one thing, you know, you're gonna self destruct. You know,
yeah, it becomes like a coping mechanism. You know what I mean? Even selling drugs, I was my best customer. I never made no money. You know what I mean? You run around, it's either stealing, hustling, just whatever you got to do to get high. And it just totally destroyed my life. That's when I met you, I don't know, back, I think it was 2010.
Yeah.
That's when I met you in Berwicka.
Yeah.
Before you were the famous bean chewer.
That's the last time I was in.
And I think the last time you ever got high is when you slept over my house that night. And you've been clean ever since.
Imagine that.
You know, that's another crazy story how you ended up there.
Yeah, that was...
You were stuck in Boston.
Yeah, with Spike.
You missed the last train going back to Lowell.
Yeah. When you missed the last train to Lowell and it's 25 degrees out and life was so bad, I ended up throwing rocks at Lep's window. That's probably what has kept me... Hopefully I'm sober. St. Patrick's Day will be 12 years since that night.
Yeah.
And Lep opened his door to me that night, and his mother let me come in and spend the night. And that was a crazy night. I remember I was, you know, he mentioned it earlier. It was cold, and Spike's like, my brother will let us stay there. And Spike, rest in peace, Spike Watson, and his brother Richie, rest in peace, Richie Watson. Both of them are dead, and Richie let us in the house. And I remember I had two. You know, like 16-ounce cans of like Natty Ice. They might have been the big ones. And I cracked one and I was drinking it. And I handed one to Spike, and Spike, Richie's girlfriend said, "Why'd you let them in the house? He's a fucking loser." And Spike just, he just reached back with the can and just launched it at her face. And she dropped like she fell out of the sky. The can exploded. And Richie's like, "You guys got to go." And I'm, you know, I was just thawing out because it was cold out, you know. And I'm just like, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" You know, when we split up, and I ended up, I don't know how I ended up at your house, Lop.
You called me.
Really?
I think that's the only time you know anyone around Boston. We were talking. We just got out of the can together.
Yeah.
He called me on a whim.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure the list was real short of who I could call.
You remember that I was right beside North Quincy train station. And that's what it was.
You're
I was
in Quincy,
like, jump on the train. You only got to walk a block. You just show up there.
Yeah, and yeah, since I can't believe it's been 12 years, man.
Yeah, and that's when Mitchie picked the idea to Mickey to go down to Florida.
Yeah,
I was like, if I could get out of Boston, I'd be going down there, and went down there, and that was it. Been clean ever since.
Yeah, and you know what? I always look back. I'd been to so many detoxes in and around Lowell, in and around Boston, every one you can imagine. And I'd always leave. I'd get to a holding and say, "Oh, I'm going to go to a halfway house, or I'm going to stay." And then, you know, after a few days, whether it was during detox or after, you know, during detox usually isn't as bad, you know, because you got the meds in you. But then you go to a holding and, you know, you're not sleeping, and it's real easy to make an excuse and leave. And that was a good thing about going to Florida. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know a soul down there. I was just stuck. I couldn't leave. You know, I didn't have money for a plane ticket or a taxi. Not to mention, I had no clue where I was. You know, it wasn't like I was local and I could finagle it and call somebody, like, you know, like I called you that night, you know, going through my list of numbers, like, "Oh, this one, you know, this one might help." But so that was a big part of it, I think, getting away, you know, and starting to change my life. But before we get into that, talking about Spike and his brother Richie.
Good guys.
Great people. Carol Watson, Rakowskis, you know, she's the best. All of them. But the last podcast I did was with Brian Kronowski and Bonaducci. Bonaducci had the mask on. We're calling him Jerome. It was like a joke. Kronowski passed away not too long after that. Probably, when was the last podcast? November?
November 29th.
Jesus. Thanksgiving. Yeah, so he died about a month later, a little after Christmas. I think it was the day after New Year's. He left the sober house because he had been messing up, and he was with some girl, and he moved in with her. And, you know, I talked to him about it. I said I didn't think it was a good idea, and, you know, he made his decision. And a couple weeks later, I was with Johnny Loco, Johnny O'Brien, and we were driving through downtown, and I saw the police had a car stopped, and I'm always fucking around saying you can't park there and everything else. So I'm looking, and the cop's just kind of grilling me. And I'm like, so I look, and he goes, "Wow, that was Brian." And I pulled over up the street, and I come walking up, you know, filming it, putting it on Snapchat and stuff. And they were arresting him for driving after suspension. And the cops were all around his car, and they had just watched him at this store in Lowell, Jay's, across from the projects, which is a, you know, a high drug area. And they actually were watching him, you know, score drugs. And you could tell by the way they had him stopped. They were all around his car, like, keep your hands on the wheel, don't move. And I'm like, oh man, they know he's got something. So I'm standing there, and, you know, the cops all know me. And afterwards, he said to me, he goes, "I was just telling them you'd come and get the car so they didn't have to arrest me, that you'd drive the car if they could just summons me." And he goes, "And then you come walking up," and it was like 11 at night. He goes, it was meant to be, you know? And the cop said, "All right, I'll let you drive his car out of here and I'll just summons him. I won't arrest him." And when I drove away, I lifted up the console and there was a big bag of brown powder in it, you know, Fetty. And, I'm like, "What are you doing, dude? You're going to die." I'm like, I remember saying to him, "You're lucky I'm not a cop," because his eyes were pinned. You know, the pupils were real small. Yeah. And he obviously, they just watched him. They knew what he was doing. I'm like, how did they not just search you? And at least, you know, the way they were around his car, not letting him move his hands, like not letting him tuck anything or hide anything. How did they not, when he stepped out, just reach in and open the console? Not to, you know, pass the buck and blame them, you know. Ultimately, like, I felt bad because if I didn't drive by and I didn't drive away, he would have got arrested that night, and, you know, he wouldn't have died. He died an hour later, actually.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so
that's terrible.
So they let me do it. He got in the car and he's like, I was just telling me, and he was like, you saved me again, you saved me again. And then I opened it up and I found the dope, and you know, I got in a big argument with him and I told him he was gonna die. And when I took him home, he got out of the car and I'm like, you know, looking back, you think you just would have took that bag and threw it out the window.
Yeah.
Or took it from him.
Yeah.
Or did something, but you know, I used to live that life. So I'm like, I don't want someone to do that. I mean, hey, fuck you. Give me that back. That's yeah. my, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, you know, looking back, I could have did 100 things different. Right. But at the time I'm like, you know, he's a grown man, but I was yelling at him. And the last thing he said to me when I had to call an Uber to go back to my truck that I left at the scene. And he's like, Mike, I turn around. I go, what? And he goes, I'm good. And I said, no, you're not good. You know, you're far from good. And that was the last thing I said to him. And I got a call. It was in the morning. It was early in the morning. It was John. And they said, Brian's on life support. And when I went to the hospital, his brother was there and his aunt and his sister. And they were waiting for the parents to come from Florida to pull the plug. And I'm like, what do you mean? And the nurse come in. And I was just there with the brother. And she said, listen, like, I remember she said, you know, it's irreversible right now. There's, you know, the brain damage he had. Because I've had so many overdoses. You know, I had one. I was in a coma for 4 or 5 days. And it's like, oh, there's always hope. And, you know, the lady says, you know, the doctor come in. And she lifted up his eyelids. And it was the scariest thing. Did I tell you this? His eyes were going opposite ways like yeah. that. It was a freak. I wish he didn't do it. Like, you know, she's like, this is a sign right here, because his toes and his feet were twitching. I was thinking, oh, this, maybe he's waking up. You know, when you're sitting there, and then they basically broke it down and said, too long, three or four hours, no oxygen to the brain. You know, and yeah, that was it. The parents come in from Florida and they pulled the plug later on that day. So that was just Brian was such a good kid, great kid, full of life, huge sports guy, big gambler, just, you know, one of us, you know what I mean? Just a real good kid. And that was a tough one. So I had to mention that, you know, he was the last one I did a podcast with here. And then also we got to talk about the elephant in the room, right? Mr. Bundles. Bundy was my sidekick for a while, you know.
Yeah, and Bundy.
I known him for years. And we had a bad falling out, you know. And Mr. Bundy will not be in that chair again. You know, people are always asking me, so I don't want to get into it. There was you know, allegedly, it's going to be a court case. I'm getting sued over it. Allegedly, there was an altercation. The guy says Bundy, you know, threw him down on the ground. The guy says he dislocated his shoulder. The guy got a lawyer. The guy got a restraining order on Bundy. And he was, you know, he was an older guy. The guy was in his mid, late 60s. Like, it was a bad thing. And then when he got a restraining order on him, you know, just that was it. And, you know, it didn't end good. You know, I'm just like, you know, I worked hard for everything and now I'm in jeopardy of losing it, you know, but we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, that's that. You know, I'm not going to talk about that no more. And yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But that sucks. So that, then Bonaducci, he had a little relapse. He was out in the streets and we just got him back recently. He was, you know, it's crazy about how we justify things when we're using and when things are bad. And I found out where he was staying. He was sleeping outside in a parking garage in the stairwell on the bottom. And it was so cold, right? This last couple of weeks, just like 5-6 days ago. So I'm going down there at night. I'm actually getting him like nips of Fireball, you know, like to try to keep him warm. And he's saying, no, it's okay. I got 3 sleeping bags. You know, I'm like, dude, it's like, I don't know if it was 10 below, but it was.
Yeah, it was freezing out there.
It was really cold, you know. So he came to his senses the other day and he come back. So, and man, just seeing the change in him, you know, 3-4 days. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, in the shower, sleeping good. You got a haircut today. He's just like, you know, when you're out on those streets, he looked, you know, his eyes, he looked freaking dead. You know what I mean? There was just, and, you know, he's laughing and joking again. So we got him back. I don't want to, you know, I've lost a few people. When guys are in the house, you know, unless they're a total dick, I like to think I'm pretty easy to get along with. And you become friends with these guys. They're almost Absolutely. Like part of your family. You know? You know how it is when you're in these places. You know what I mean? You get close to people and you like them. And like anything else, whether it's your kids or your family or anything, some more than others. You know, you got your favorites, and some people you like more than others, and you get real close to. And it sucks when you see them go back out there, and that sucks. But when you see them go back out there and ultimately, you know, pay the ultimate price, you know, that's the worst. But you know, it's just another reminder, right, that to be grateful for, you know, for what we got, and you know, just be appreciative, and also a reminder of the dangers, you know. And even people out there, right? I got a friend of mine who's a younger kid who's real successful, and he's out partying, and I'm like, hey, man. You know, he's out doing a little bumps of coke, and he's not like...
That's all it takes.
Yeah, you get
something... You don't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be a drug addict. That's not what happens.
Yeah, but even... I'm just talking about how they put Fetty in, like, coke now.
Everything. Yeah. When I was doing the other shit, you know what I mean? The coke had Fetty in it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I did that so I wouldn't die, and then come to find out I almost died doing it that way, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And the countless times I almost had.
How many times have, I remember you OD'd that time, and it was made the rounds on social media, and you weren't too happy
first
about
time
that.
My friend had a videotape, but I freaked out. It was one of the times, of course, I constantly lie. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, I wasn't, no, I was getting high. I got sent a video of it, and I was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My family member, my in-laws, my ex's brother, firefighter, it's fucking, I wake up, it's right over me. I'm like, oh man, first time I overdosed right up in Street Park. You know, that's fucking, talk about bad luck what I got. And just, you know, I got good luck, bad luck. What about the time I got smashed in the head with the baseball bat? And that still didn't stop me. Got my whole skull crushed in.
Let's see the scar. You got
it? No, I can't see it though.
Oh, he's got a horseshoe. What a scar.
You can see the picture, though.
Do you even remember what happened? No, I mean, the lead pipe story, what do you think? Mark's off camera.
No, Mark,
hold on. Hold on. I'm not talking. Mark, what do you think of the lead pipe story? Is it... Can you zoom in on that here? Give it to him. The lead pipe story. We're not...
Definitely,
No. Lep's been known to stretch the truth.
Right? Not
on that. You got it?
Whoa. Hey, let me show you the other one. Now, I still walked out of the hospital even to get fucked up after that. So this is what my brother took a picture of. I'm not proud of this, but this goes to show you where you can come from.
You don't look bad, yeah?
No bad. It's not. Look at this one. You got to show this one.
Yeah. Justin's seen enough of you.
There's a metal plate in the head. It's the hole in my skull right there.
So, Lev, what happened? Because I remember the first story you gave me, so we're gonna match
them. I really don't remember. I'm going to tell you. Obviously, I was drugs. I either got hit with a metal bat.
Goes from pipe to bat?
No, it was never a pipe. Either a bat or a baton.
The baton has entered the chat.
I don't know. This is what I'm telling you.
I knew it.
No, I don't know what happened.
Exactly. You have no idea what happened.
I woke up.
You've been going with this metal pipe story for over a year, and it took me about 13 seconds to dismantle that whole story.
No, that,
I should have been a detective. You know that?
So I woke up I woke up like a week later.
You know when he fell apart? When I said, I remember exactly the first story you told me. Which I had no fucking clue what the first story was. All right?
Yeah.
No idea. But I just knew that there's something else. He might know what happened.
But to actually be able to live through that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking lucky I'm alive on that one.
100%.
You know, I was in a coma for, I think, like a week. I have no
idea. What happened?
I don't know. It was over drugs. My head got smashed in. That's all I know. You know, but I'm lucky to be alive and still have be able to walk, talk, all that shit.
I wonder what happened.
I have no idea. I just know I was on so many Xanax that would save my life. Though. You know, those are the other million stories. That's fucking nightmare.
Come on, get
out. Nightmare being on those.
That song, 8 million stories. You know? That's you, love. Yeah. So Lep leaves the hospital. His head is still shaved. He's got the horseshoe scar.
Yeah.
He did some little score. He had $1,000 on him or something. And he ends up on a plane to Los Angeles.
Logan. That's when I got my inheritance when my mother died.
Okay.
Yeah, that was another story.
Yeah, so, but your head was still shaved. It was like you still had the Johnny.
I had like 100, like 80 staples in my
head. Yeah, you had 80 staples.
I still had the blue dots on my head.
And he puts a thing on Instagram of him. Do you have that picture?
Did you get the video?
Hold on. He writes, he goes, I'm going to L.A. Never been to Los Angeles. Never been anywhere.
Never left South Boston.
Okay, he writes, all by my swelf, like Mike Lee. He's on a plane, right? He puts in a big thing. Hey, never makes it off the tarmac.
Yeah.
Directly to Suffolk County Jail. So what happened? Why did they arrest you on the plane?
Well, the first thing I said, I don't have drugs on me.
Well, that's good to let everyone know. That's the first thing I say.
I got arrested like 2 days later. The reason they took me off the plane, because after having the brain surgery, I didn't know that if I went up on the plane, I would have died because of the pressure.
Well, you should have put a hat on.
It couldn't have fit on my head. It was so swollen.
You know what I mean? Sure, you could have found it.
You know what I mean?
Good size sombrero.
So they shipped all my, everything I owned went to LAX. So when I get off the plane, no suitcase, no nothing. Nowhere to go. And then I think the next day I got arrested.
So what'd they do? Just take you off the plane?
They're like, you can't fly. I'm like, why? What's wrong? I don't got no drugs. I'm like, why can't I fly? They're like, you just had brain surgery. I'm like, yeah. They said, well, if you go up on the plane.
How did they know you just had brain surgery?
I had 80 staples in my head and a blue dot going down.
But how'd you even get on the plane?
I have no idea. I don't remember. Ever boarding the plane.
You just remember telling them you didn't have any drugs on you?
Yeah, when they came and grabbed me off the plane. I think some lady. Some bits and pieces. I remember some lady going up and telling on me, like, hey, this kid's head's all messed up.
I think she said a little more than you. I
was probably screaming on the plane. What the fuck?
Yeah, you were gone. You were out of there.
I was wrecked.
What were you doing?
Xanax.
Xanax.
Yeah.
Xanax or the devil?
Yeah, that was my thing.
I loved them too.
Cost me a lot of problems in my life.
Yeah. You're on the right track now, though.
Time I took a deposit out, you know, it cost me a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, Lep is a bank robber.
No pressure. Big difference.
What?
Yeah, you know, I didn't rob it with a gun.
Yeah, you still robbed the bank?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. What'd the note say?
Give me all the money, please.
Please.
Please. Well, I went into the first bank and then realized that they had the bulletproof glass there. Then I'm like, oh, shit. I remember my kid's mother saying, take the note back. So obviously my dumb ass left it there. And then I walk, all the kids dead now. My buddy Max Adams, God rest his soul, was waiting out there for me. And as the cops were coming up from C6 up, I mean, AIM Broadway, whatever the tone, going up there. By the time I was coming out the back, they were already running in, and I walked across the street. The bank's across the street on West Broadway. I was robbing that one. And then they said that there's a bank robbery. And they were like, no, we're here. And they were like, no, there's another robbery at Citizens Bank. And as I was walking out, they were running from that bank already over. But by that time, I was already gone.
All right, good. You got away.
Yeah, so I lasted like 3 months.
All right.
Until the feds went by my mother's house and all that shit, but I wasn't living at the time. I was living in a rooming house.
Well, at least you got away with it. How much you get?
$8,500.
Yeah, that's a nice one for a note. I mean, you know, a note. You think that's the truth, Mike?
$8,500? I get the paperwork.
I'm not. Listen, no,
I'm just saying.
You should have brought it.
I'm just saying.
You should have brought it.
No. I get the postage. Look at it.
$4,250. Exactly.
I got the picture.
All right.
Right there.
Love, you gotta hide the beak.
I can't. That's what they said. A profound nose. I'm not lying in the fucking FBI paperwork. Profound nose, you know?
What is it?
Profound nose.
Profound nose.
You know? Profound nose, you know?
Yeah.
Can I say, fuck it.
That should be your name on Instagram.
You know? Yeah, but that.
Profound
nose. So let me tell the story. So I had my grand idea, you know what I mean? I was telling my cousin Tommy Sargent, who passed away, you know? They had a. I had a North Face hat on, so I was like, you know, I'll switch my hat. I was going to get my Suboxone, so I was going to go up to New Hampshire. I was that delusional at the time, all beaned out. So I walk out front to have a cigarette, and I'm like, wow, I lived right beside Wollaston train station. A lot of cars cut through there to go by. I'm like, wow, it's really quiet out. There's no cars out there, like none. Go back in the house, my friend was coming by. And as I'm sitting there talking to my brother, he's like, you know, you got to turn yourself in. I'm like, dude, fuck that. I'm going to our aunt's house up in New Hampshire. Nobody's going to find me. And literally as I'm talking to my brother right there, the FBI drives by and I could read their lips. So like D.S. Hennessy right there. Next thing you know, they come out and bundle me. I mean, everyone, Chinese, old people, white people, black, Spanish, everything. You know, they get me. They start arresting me. They're like, you know, they're looking at me, how strong I am. They're like, what do you want? I'm like, everything but roller skates, you know? What are you gonna find up there? I said, all kinds of drugs, paraphernalia, you know? I thought I was smart. The last, like, probably 1,500 I had hid in the cereal box. You know, they tore the whole house apart. Found everything. Everything.
Ugh.
I mean, they didn't prosecute me for the drugs or nothing because then they already had me. And my stupid ass is, being the cheap fuck that I am, I didn't want to throw in my brand new Huaraches that I had. So I'm sitting in Quincy Police Station, sick as a dog.
I like the Huaraches.
And I seen the FBI agent come walk by. He goes, those are the sneakers right there. And he was like, you know, take them off. I was like, I'm not taking these sneakers off. You want to come in and take them off my feet? I'm not getting up because at that point I was so sick. I had to spend the whole night in there before I got transferred to Suffolk County to go be brought into Salty Court for the bank robbery. But yeah, it was horrible. You know,
how much time did you get for that?
3 years.
Not bad.
Not bad.
You're walk in the clean. Park.
Yeah, walk in the park, you know?
Yeah. So how long you been out now? Well, you went back a few times since then, right?
Yeah, nothing like 6 weeks here, 6 weeks there in the last 10 years. That's it.
Oh, really?
That's it. I've been out since. I went back last, went there for 6 weeks, and just right now, that was it.
Lep's got an aversion to microphones.
You know, well, my fault. I am not used to this celebrity. Just saying, Mikey.
So Lep, yeah, Lep spent a little time with me.
Yep.
Right? You had fun in there, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
A lot of laughs?
You know, I didn't really know the story about the with the glove with the smack.
Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that.
Oh, no.
How do I know? What else? No. What about the... Just the whole, down the whole.
No, that was nuts. Laughs. That's when they were all taking us down there because I think it was Jackie Graham pulled the suicide. Not a real suicide because it was so hot down there.
Oh, yeah.
We were boiling.
Down there, I was down
so
there.
So they fake suicides to go to Bridgewater so they can get ice cream.
Yeah.
And I got lugged down there for a miscount and they fucking lugged me to go down the hall. You hid from to get away from me, but.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I didn't really go to Mikey Lep. But
Mikey need a break from Marty Romello.
Yeah, so that summer I was down there for months over that Deacon Bill thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bunch of guys like were hanging themselves, so they come through and they took everyone's. It was like 2 or 3 months all summer, no clothes.
They took
our clothes.
Yeah, they were trying to
bed sheets.
Yeah,
pillowcases,
everything,
books,
everything,
radio.
So if you
it was like being in a cell in the police station naked for 3 months.
Yeah, so if you didn't...
It was amazing.
They were trying to pass a lawsuit because obviously, what's it, a sexual charge? Because if you didn't take your clothes off, they would bundle you and literally cut your clothes off.
Yeah.
So if you weren't suicidal, why are you getting taken away all your clothes?
It was brutal.
There's nothing worse than being a suicide.
And that big, if anyone's ever had this, they call it the burrito, the green burrito, the suicide smock.
Oh, my fucking God.
It is the most rough, uncomfortable thing. You put it on, it's got these, they call it the burrito, it wraps around the Velcro. And the only time you put that thing on was they take you out for a shower Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday, Thursday, Saturday, whatever it is. You get three showers a week, and you'd have to put that on to walk down the tier to the shower. Yeah. Other than that, that thing was off. And, you know, it would have been all right, you know, if I had a piece like 12 inches long. It would have been a little easier, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's fucking, you know, they strip you down and nothing. It's tough. Yeah,
and not, it's a tough and when you get out of the cell.
Especially when it's in defense mode, when they're coming in the fucking riot gear and stuff.
That was horrible.
It's not like it's just swinging around.
Yeah.
My shit's fucking in defense mode. Yeah, ready,
that was crazy.
Ready to go.
And then they put you in handcuffs and shackles on top of it.
Yeah.
So you're walking up and down the hallway. You can't even walk.
Yeah, that was
that sucked.
Maybe that's why I never went back after that. They probably should have did that to me when I was a juvenile. Just took my clothes for fucking three months.
All that I was in, that was probably the worst one. That was brutal.
Remember the Urbanat? You mentioned the Urbanat?
Yeah. So Mikey's in there. I don't think he cleaned a cell ever when I was locked up with him, ever. You had Stevie Carroll at the time. Poor Stevie Carroll. Yeah. Oh, man. And I don't know how many styrofoam trays you had because they wouldn't give us the plastic.
Yeah.
And it was just stacks and stacks of them.
Yeah,
like, Mikey, what are you gonna do? He's like, it's Urbanat. Leave it alone. I'm not playing this. How you coming
in? In the hole, they give you the styrofoam.
It was fucking this high, taller than me.
Milk cartons up to your shins. I had to kick my way through them to take three steps to the toilet.
Oh my God!
So the cops, the captains would all come down. They're like, and I had the food trays.
Yeah,
just three things of them all the way to the ceiling. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is Urbanat.
Yeah.
They'd say, clean that out. I'd say, no.
No.
I am not cleaning my fucking cell.
You can come
in and clean my cell.
Looking back, I think I know your motto behind it. You were like, you know what? I'm not treating this as my house. It's a cell.
Yeah, just being a dick. I don't know if I taught that much into it, but I remember being in the shower one day and they came down and cleaned it out, and they're pushing it all out in the tier.
Oh, my God.
It was hundreds and hundreds. So I take the milk carton and rinse it out with water and just throw it on the floor because it would stink, you know what I mean?
Bad.
But it was hundreds and hundreds of them in styrofoam trays. It was crazy. And then they cleaned out the cell, and I could hear, like, you heard a couple of the brothers like, yo, check out that, you know, that ninja cell, man. Yeah. Look, that shit, oh, man, yo, he's a Viking.
Yeah.
They're in there pushing the fucking broom out. There was trash for days coming out of there.
You want to talk about having a crazy cellie, my cellie, Pauly?
Which one?
Venuti.
Oh, yeah, Venuti.
He was fucking mental.
Method,
what
right?
about when he threw the trays because they didn't give him extra eggs?
I forget.
He started hucking trays.
Is he still around?
I don't know.
I think one of them died.
I don't know. But he was nuts.
Megatron.
Yep.
Megatron, they call him. He had a big Megatron tattoo.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Him and his brother was my cellmate, Sal Venuti. A real good kid.
He kicked like 300 milligrams of methadone.
Oh, yeah. He kicked, my God. If you've ever seen somebody detox from methadone, you know.
I never did that, thank God.
Holy shit. You know, that was my last one. That was my last kick. But when in jail, it's rough. It's a rough one.
I kicked the beans. That was the worst kick in my life. 3 months I was sick for.
The OCs or the benzos?
Yeah,
I had a seizure coming off the Xanax.
I had multiple, a lot of them.
I had I bumped into a girl the other day who was a CO, Christine Pierre. She's the best. But I had a seizure in Concord detoxing, and they sent me to Shirley Medium Hospital. And my father bartended for years, so everyone liked my father, you know, and she went and saw him afterwards. And I was in a bad way, you know, and she was like, she goes, I remember seeing you. I went in, I was like 140, I think I was 147 pounds. I was a welterweight, you know, and I'm always like, you know, 190. Now I'm about 218. I was just so close to 200. I was eating so good, working out, and I'm like, I'm going to break 200 pounds. I'm getting on the scale every day. I'm like, one day it's like 205, 207, then it's like 203. And then I just fell apart. I just had a fucking grape soda downstairs and fucking two bags of Doritos. It's the addiction in me. When I'm doing good, I'm doing good, no matter what it is, right? If it's eating or whatever it is. And then once I fall off track, it's fucking terrible. But yeah, this girl, Christine Pierce, she was the CEO, and she went and saw me. And I remember I had another seizure. They had me cuffed and shackled. They were taking me from Concord State Prison to Shirley. They got a real good hospital there. And I had just got locked up, and I had like 30 bags of dope tucked in up my ass, you know. And so they got me in this hospital in Shirley, and I'm fucking having seizures, detoxing. So the next morning, I get the package out, you know. I'm already feeling better. You know, it's in my hand. I'm saying, here we go. Red Eagles. The old Red Eagle bags were a staple of Lowell, Mass. They had like the United States Post Office Eagle. That was the emblem, the Red Eagles, you know. And I got a couple open. I whiffed a few. Now I'm in my bed, kicked back. I got the remote to the TV. I'm like, yeah, can I get an extra tray of pancakes? And I'm cracking jokes. I'm fucking every, you know, if anyone, you know, these guys know, you know, when you're sick and then you get some, you know, when you're drug sick from the opiates.
Boost energy.
Yeah. You immediately, you go from being violently ill to feeling like
you want
to
run a marathon.
Oh my God! It's not a bad feeling. That's why it's called Class A, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But just like anything else, it turns to be the worst fucking feeling in the world. But so now I'm fine, and the next morning I look and here's a transpo cop holding the shackles, and he goes, "Hey Lee, let's go." And I got like fucking 15 bags left or whatever I got. And they're literally in my sock because they told me they're going to keep me there for like 6 days on this detox protocol. It's the next morning. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, they're saying you're not showing really any signs of detox anymore. Come on, you're going back to Concord. I'm like, oh, I got to take a shower. They're like, no,
yeah,
let's go.
No, they won't let you. I'm like, right there.
I'm like, oh, I got diarrhea. I got to go to the bathroom because I'm like, they're going to strip me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm getting a case.
Yep.
So he's like, all right, go to the bathroom. There's like, hey, Justin, you know.
I think he's on the
influence. I'm fucking trying to, you know, trying to disguise him. So. So.
Story of my life.
He goes like this. He goes, well, go ahead, go to the bathroom. And there's like a fucking toilet right there with the fucking,
yeah, watch,
with the
yeah.
curtain
yeah.
like this
yeah.
with the thing, right? So now I'm like, at least I got them out. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to flush him, this and that. And so he's there shooting the shit, like talking. And he like walks out of the room. And this inmate comes in, this black kid, and he's mopping up. He's like a trustee, you know? I go, hey, my man. I said, get me a rubber glove right now. He's like, oh, man, I can't. I held up a bag of dope. I say, hey, I'll give you a
street. There you go.
I'll give you a street bag of dope right now. You give me a rubber glove, you know? Boom, he was gone. He's like, fucking ricochet rabbit came back. Here you go. I'm like, here you go, my man. He's like, good looks. I'm like, yeah. So now I'm going to rip the fucking glove apart, and the cop comes back in. So I can't be like making noise like snap, you know,
ripping his, he's on the other side of this
curtain, right? So I'm fucking nibbling through this glove like a ferret. Like I finally get the finger off and I get the bags in and I wrap it up and I suitcase it, as they say.
Yeah.
I tuck it and they take me back to Concord. And I remember I got back to Concord kind of late. And I, you know, I've told this story. I get up in the morning, the sun's coming up, and I climb down off the top bunk, and the dude on the bottom bunk is sleeping. So I bust open like three bags, and I got my ID, and I'm making a line on the desk, and I'm rolling up a piece of paper. And the dude opens his eyes, and one eye open, he's laying there watching me. I don't know it yet. And all of a sudden he goes, "Breakfast of Champions, huh, kid?" I turn around and look at him. I go, you want a little bump? He's like, fucking A, right? I do.
You stop West Down?
No, I'm the Jays. I was in the Jays. But, so I fucking got my cellmate high. And then it was all fun and games for a couple of days until
they wore off.
Yeah, those wore off. And then I remember I was like almost delusional again. It was such a bad run between the benzos and the dope where when I ran out of dope, now I go back in a detox, and I was ripping my sneakers apart. Cause I used to hide drugs all my shoes.
Oh, you're looking for everything.
Yeah, I'm
point.
Looking. I'm ripping them apart. And I remember my cellmate saying, you know, there's nothing there. You got no, you know, he's trying to talk sense to me. It's like when people have DTs, they remember afterwards. You remember everything when you're going through it. And I remember telling him, and this is the craziest fucking story. Well, I got a lot. It's not that crazy. But I remember him saying, my dope dealer was a... His dude Jimmy, his brother Nelson. I actually saw their brother today, their older brother. I haven't seen him in a while. And I was like, my dealer's bringing by, you know, three bundles. And I'm in the J's in prison. And he's like, listen, kid, your dealer's not coming here. No one's coming here bringing you three. He's trying to talk to me. And I'm in the window saying he's going to beep. He's going to beep. And I'm sitting in the window like delusional. And then they start letting out the buildings for chow. And all the inmates are walking by the windows. Yeah. And I see my dope dealer's brother, Nelson. He just got like 5 years. And I'm like, look, there he is right there. I'm like, Nelson. He's like, look, he's like looking at me and I'm just in full fucking delirium mode. But I remember seeing Nelson like thinking, oh, here he is. You know, he's coming to bring me three bundles. But yeah, Nelson. But
I
remember
the time I picked up the other case when we were in, when they had the old Cambridge jail.
Yeah.
Before they were coming to get you, send you 52A. I think, what was his name? Mr. Blue. He was a fucking asshole. Or Conley.
What, coming to get me?
Cop that hated you.
There's a few of them.
You were supposed to be barred from there.
Yeah.
I'm on the basketball court. I hear laugh. I'm like, who the fuck's that? He's like, oh my God. Yeah. I ended up beating that case, but I ended up getting a year for suspended sentence.
They came and dragged me out of there, right?
You were gone. You like a martyr the next morning.
Yeah.
You were out.
Yeah, they came and got me out. Back then, they used to have the law of the 52A. If you had done a state sentence, a lot of times they wouldn't hold you in county. They'd come get you and put you back in state. But they since got rid of that, which is terrible.
I didn't find that out until last year. I go to National Street, worst county jail there is. It's fucking miserable there.
It's just
horrible, the food, everything. I said, you know, when am I leaving to go to 52A? They're like, oh, you don't know? I'm like, no, what? I've been out of trouble for so long at this point. They're like, you're staying here. I'm like, oh, my God. It was just bad, horrible. You know what I mean?
Right, so where are you at now? What?
Right now I'm at the Gavin House.
Wow. You've been in the Gavin before, right?
Yeah, like 8 years ago. You know, so it's good to be back there, clean, sober, doing the right thing again. You know, I still have my flaws. You know, I still every once in a while I like to have sticky hands.
You're still stealing, right, Lev?
No, I try not to.
But me too.
To be honest, it's
no,
it's,
no.
It's hard. Red Bull here, you know. I don't go to clothing stores no more. I can't.
Really?
No, I can't.
I kind of need some stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I like new shit all the time. No, my buddy away is the best customer. But, you know, Lulu Pat. But, you know, I can't no more. No,
they probably know you're in Lululemon by now, right?
Oh, I destroy them all the time. Yeah. You know, it's sick how bad it was. I was making good money working on Newbury Street, literally going over to Arts Herrick, Patagonia, stealing out of there. I mean, it's getting high.
How many times you been arrested for shoplifting?
Probably like 5 or 6 my whole life.
It's not bad.
You know, all the other shit was just dumb shit when I was fucked up, just getting in trouble, you know, but.
But they know you now, right?
Yeah, I actually got caught. I beat the case, but you know, it was actually assault the cop that ratted on me, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, cops don't really rat.
You know, but no, I get it, but the cops didn't know me.
But I know what you're saying, yeah.
He lied, but the way he lied, it said, you know, they grabbed my bag without me, not knowing everything's on body camera. I remembered it. And they said they had a warrant. I had a warrant. My name came back. I didn't have a warrant. So they're discussing it. The cop said, hey, you said he had a warrant. He's like, yeah, I know, but we're just going to stop him anyway. Oh. And the description was the guy that stole. I really didn't steal out of Patagonia that day. And then when I went in Lululemon,
who was a salty cop? And cops can rap, but you know what I mean? It's just their job. So I look at it like.
I'd say, but you know what I mean? He's a good person. You know what I mean? But a friend from the neighborhood, one of our friends.
He's not a good person. You know,
lived on his street.
Did he rat your out, Lep?
Yeah. He said, that's Patrick Hennessy right there. I know him. I know who he is.
Put him on blast, Lep. Who was it?
Well, I can't say that.
Who was it?
I can't do it.
Who was it, Lep?
I can't. I don't tell. That's not me. Go on. Even though he's a cop, I can't do it. You know, that's not me. As much as I love to say, but I tell you one nothing left. Boston Police 0. I beat them. I caught them. You know, I was gonna get them on the stand, and the DA was like, "Yeah, we're just gonna throw this case out because they don't realize everything's on body camera now."
So what are we doing now? You working?
No, I just went to job interview today. Hopefully, I get the job.
All right, no, so you've had some all right construction jobs. Remember when you were working that one over there in the trailer? You had the sweet gig driving the trucks. What happened there?
Yeah, I fucked that up. Relapsed. My brother got me a great job. Probably the best job I ever had. Good money. I was bringing home good money. Company phone.
Remember what'd you do with the truck? I remember you were sending me Snapchat. You were.
No, I was driving the front end loader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That wasn't my job title doing that. They were letting me mess around.
Bad move letting you get behind the wheel of that thing, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was on private property, so.
So what'd you do again?
Relapsed.
No, I know, but you did something, didn't you?
It was very easy, just filling up the water trucks and running the concrete saddle.
Didn't you drive the truck away or something? Didn't you do something?
No, I didn't even do any of that. I was making great money, like big money doing that.
You fell asleep or something?
Yeah, you know, partying all weekend long. I thought I had a little coke in the trailer, and then bang, it wasn't coke, it was Fetty.
Oh.
Yeah. So I haven't touched, I really never did the fentanyl shit. My shit was always the pills, oxys, you know, dope here and there, but mainly pills, Klonopin, Xanax, all that dumb shit. You know, it cost me a lot. You know what I mean? I'm not proud of the shit, but it made me who the person I am today.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is you definitely shouldn't be here, right? No, so you got that going.
No, I get I definitely outlived my 9 lives.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of kids we were talking at a meeting tonight, just glad to see how many kids are still alive, like out of a generation, how many people are like dead. It's sad. You know, I'm just lucky.
I remember in jail, you wouldn't eat the jail food.
No, I would rather
starve. Did you still do that?
No.
Do you eat it now?
No, fuck no.
He would only eat Doritos and peanut butter sandwiches.
Yep.
And iced tea, right?
Yeah, the peach iced tea. I had boxes of them.
Lep would not. No. I'd get his tray.
I would go to the hole. I would say, be like, who wants a tray? They are trays of bread. Be like, what's down the hole?
Me.
I would starve to death in there. He would be miserable. That was my only scare, going the hole. I didn't care about doing the time. But the fucking food, I remember throwing the chicken patty just recently in Asher Street. That thing
sounded terrible. Talk about Sully's hot dogs.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, I'd eat the hot dogs. That was it. Yeah. I'd tell myself that. But, yeah, that was horrible.
Peanut butter sandwiches, iced tea.
Oatmeal. Yep, that was it.
Yeah, did you mix the peanut butter with the oatmeal?
No.
No, I can't.
That was your thing.
You got it. That was everybody's thing. It wasn't mine. Everyone mixes the peanut butter and the oatmeal.
Yeah, but thank God I'm not going to live like that no more.
It wasn't bad.
You can't break the curve. You can't get the leprechaun thrown out.
Yeah, what time are you going to be back?
I'm telling all both of you.
11?
Yeah.
Wait, someone I know got hit by. So the other night, right?
How about one more thing? One more sad story. How about the train track incident?
What happened on the train tracks?
No. I talked to my buddy for 5 hours. I jumped on the train tracks for like 2 hours. Gavin House detox. Kid was trying to trade me meth for my Xanax. I'm not trading those. I don't do that shit. Guy came in. I almost got caught red-handed. Threw it in my drink, and not knowing crystal meth, I guess, dissolves in water. It was like 2 grams, so when I drank it.
Wait, you threw it in there?
Yeah, I got scared. I didn't want to get kicked out. So when I threw it in the drink, sitting there for like 10 seconds.
But why'd you drink the drink?
Not knowing, because he said, what you put in there? I was like, it's not alcohol, look.
Yeah, I'll show you.
I didn't even think about it, not knowing what the fuck it would do to me, and then hallucinations, all that shit. And then I was getting off the Klonopins, all that shit, and I'm like, you need to give me my benzos, and then fucking... And a psychosis.
Hold on. You got Xanax. Who has the 2 grams of meth?
Kid in the detox. I have no idea.
Oh, you're in the detox.
He's trying to bargain with me. I'm like, I don't want that shit. I don't.
How did it end up in your hand? If you want,
he would show me. And he's like, look at it. And when he gave it to me like this, the guy came right in, and I just threw it in my drink, not thinking, scared.
What was the drink?
Gatorade. Orange Gatorade that they gave us.
I was going to ask if it was red, too.
And then, boom. That was it. Bad. I was up for like 2 days and talked to my friend Randy. I was up for like...
Listen, not to be funny or anything, but guys, remember, don't put 2 grams of meth in your orange Gatorade and drink
it. No, absolutely
not. It's not going to end well.
I shut down the red line for like 2 hours.
Did you?
My mother was on the train like, wow, the fuck, these things ain't running. Oh, yeah. She didn't know it was me on the train tracks. And then...
No, what were you doing on the train track?
It was right beside the Gavin House detox. Yeah, so I jumped over the fence to get away from the cops. The cops showed up. Quincy police know me like, whoa, police.
Were the cops even there?
Oh, yeah, there was 50 of them. They kept on jumping over and over. Oh, yeah, this is a documented story, 100%.
So why didn't you just keep running? Why did you stay on the train tracks?
You can't from Wallison to Quincy Center. That's about a mile run.
Oh, you went?
Oh, I went, started running, and then realized, oh, man, I'm not in Salty. I thought I was in Salty. Really did, right? Thought it was
that at still the time. Would have been Andrew oh, no, Broadway no, would have been no, that would have yeah, stretched too, yeah, right?
So
that would have
now you can't Mike, think about it. You can't get up. It's 30-foot walls.
Is it that high?
Yes, it is.
No way.
Oh, yes, it is. Pull it up on Google. Look right now.
Did you think the train was going to come a barreling down
the
tracks?
The commuter rail came right by me as they jumped over. Oh yeah, the train was coming and everything. Bad. It was sad. You know what I mean? And then
probably wasn't sad.
Oh no, it was. It was.
Probably pretty exhilarating.
It was. Even all the people, you know, detox are saying, go, 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 go.
Yeah, they were cheering you on?
They were cheering me on. They were. They were.
Oh, my God.
When I picked up a lead pipe, I told them I was going to touch the third rail. You got to remember, this is
that was my next question.
You know?
The third rail.
I thought I was going to get arrested.
The third rail. That was coming.
So you got to remember, in the middle of February, I get Johnny's on. Because it's in, you're a detox, and I had a t-shirt on, but my body was overheating so bad, I was ready to overdose from the meth. That's how much my heart rate was going. And they brought me to
South. How did it end?
Oh, it was bad. They bring me to South Shore Hospital, my little gift of gab, talk me right up, going to the psych hospital. And these people put me in an Uber and sent me back to my poor mother's house like that.
Really?
And then a friend of mine, good friend of mine, I talked to him for about 5-6 hours. And then, yeah, it was bad. I thought people were trying to kill me. I was walking around my house.
You know how many times this good friend of yours has sent me screenshots or calls with you, and it's been like 2 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And I say, how the fuck do you do? Because there's times when he wants to kill you. And fucking, it's amazing, the relationship.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
You do.
You get here, I'm laughing. On a daily basis. I don't know. If I start my podcast, might be better than yours. Yeah. The Patrick Edison Show every day. Nice thing to start my fucking day off.
Oh,
you gotta see that video.
All right, that well, it's 10:22. I feel like I could have talked to you for 2 hours, to be honest with you. You know? And I like to end it on a laugh, you know, not a fucking bad note.
No, you know what I mean? I'm doing good. You can get your way out of this. I mean, I tortured myself for 20 years, you know.
And you're working on not stealing.
Yeah, you know, I got the rubber band.
He's got a rubber band.
This is what the therapist says. I don't think it's going to work, but, you know, we'll try.
They put a rubber band on his wrist and said every time you go to steal something, you're going to see this rubber band. And put it back, snap it, and put it back down.
I don't think it's going to work. But
you like that one?
We'll try.
You ever hear the song, The Rubber Band Man by the Spinach?
People say, you know what I mean? Keep it one day at a time. My shit's 1 minute.
There you go.
So if you leave anything out, I'm taking it.
Heard you stole a lighter the other night from 7-Eleven?
Yeah, you know, they know me, you know. But, yeah, I got caught.
What happened?
Any time I've ever gotten caught in my life, it's been for dumb shit. Never nothing good or expensive, nothing like that, you know. Fucking.
What about the bank?
Well, you know, I was on the influence of clowns. I would do that too.
No, but I mean, you got $8,500 or $42.
You know, a little chump change.
But what happened with the lighter? Tell us about the lighter before we depart.
I didn't even think about it. I just took it, put it in my pocket, got caught, you know.
How'd you get caught?
Camera, guy see me. No one was at the register. I just didn't even think of it. Took it.
You thought about it.
No, I really didn't.
You needed a lighter, right?
No, I got about 10 of them.
Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a true kleptomaniac. I steal shit I need.
You should see the cosmetics.
Yeah, I should see
the cosmetics in my room.
All right, listen, love. I need some extra large shirts. All right, love you, buddy.
I'm tired.
Thank you for coming on. All right, what episode was that? We forgot. 39? Yep. All right, 39. We're back. We're going to do a few more this week. And Justin, we need you to edit this and get this out there, all right?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Ice coffee, take a sip, toss it out the window.